Now, this short lecture that I'm giving here concerns the kingdom of God and salvation. There has been a great misunderstanding about the phrase, the kingdom of God, and just exactly what the kingdom of God is all about. There have been many studies by scholars over the problems of the kingdom of God, because the difficulties really merge around just what is the kingdom of God. Can we now inherit the kingdom of God at this present time? Or does it really come when Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent and establishes his throne here on the earth and his government over the totality of the earth? There are certain scriptures which seem to show that the kingdom of God can actually be with us at the present time. That means the rulership of God, that he rules in our lives, and that we can even benefit from some of the factors or some of the good things that will come at the time of the kingdom of God, that we can do that now. Or there are other verses which say, no, we have to wait until it finally does emerge here on the earth. Now, the kingdom of God is certainly going to occur when Jesus Christ comes back. The apostles are actually to reign on 12 thrones over the children of Israel. That's when the kingdom of God rules on this earth. King David himself will be resurrected, we find in several scriptures, to be a king at that time, along with Christ Jesus. Now, this will last for the entirety of the millennial period. But this kingdom of God is something that is majestic and wonderful. It's something that the Jews, all the Israelites of ancient time, look forward to. In fact, to them, to have the kingdom of God or to participate in it was looked upon as something that was the apex of life, why they would even exist here on earth. They wanted to be able to see God in rulership, not Satan the devil, not the kings of this world, not the evil that we see around us at the present time, but they said they wanted to participate in what they call the world to come, or the age to come. And when they talked about that age to come, they meant the millennial age, the age when God himself would be here on earth. And Christians came to understand that that meant that when Christ Jesus himself would appear from heaven, and that he would establish his kingdom here on the earth, and then there would be God's rulership from sea to sea and over all the land areas, and universal peace and prosperity would exist, and that the government of God would be in Jerusalem, and that out of Jerusalem would go forth the law and justice and goodness and righteousness and peace and happiness and security, as well as freedom from sickness. There would be health everywhere. That God's kingdom would then be something which would be idyllic. It would be like being in the Garden of Eden, but without the chance of sinning, in the sense like our first parents did. Now the Jews and the Israelites, and later on the Christians, began to want that kingdom of God. They wanted to live within the environment of that kingdom. Now Jesus did say on occasion, however, that if individuals would be within the will of God at the present time, that Satan could be conquered on certain occasions, and they would experience certain aspects of the kingdom of God. We find this in Matthew chapter 12, when Jesus was going through the area of Judea, and he was lecturing to them, or he was preaching to them, along with the apostles. And certain demons were being cast out at the time. And when Jesus saw that they were, he actually said this, "But if I cast out devils," which means demons, "by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." That means right now. You know, you can experience certain aspects of the kingdom of God, of the age to come, of the world to come, right here and now. If you have the Spirit of God with you, if those around you have the Spirit of God, you can have a foretaste, a shadow of that future kingdom. But the kingdom itself is future. There's no question about that. It will not be finally established on this earth until Christ Jesus comes back. But he also said in Luke chapter 17 that the kingdom of God comes not with observation, but is within you. Even now, you and I and all of us, in a sense, can experience the kingdom of God if we have God's Holy Spirit in us. Now, we don't have it in totality, you know that. It will not actually transpire on this earth until the second coming of Christ. But when he does come, there is going to occur the kingdom of God on this earth, and it's going to last for 1,000 years. That is a time which we're told in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, in the first few verses, that Satan the devil will be in prison, chains will be put upon him, and he will not tempt the nations anymore. In all of the great blessings and joys and happinesses, I said before, prophesied by Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the other prophets, and also in many of the Psalms, will then transpire. Now, that is what the Jews wanted to inherit. They wanted to inherit the rulership of God. They wanted to live under his domain. And you know, I would like that myself. So would you. This is the time when, if you're ruled by God, well, my, it's going to be beautiful and wonderful. You're ruled by man, however, or if you're ruled by Satan the devil, you're going to have difficulties. There may be some good times, but it's not going to be pristine glory. It's not going to be the goodness that people would really want. The Jews and the Israelites and the early Christians wanted to experience the kingdom of God. Now, you can have, as I say, a foretaste of it now if you have the Holy Spirit. And if God blesses you and me and the rest of us, but the actual kingdom of God is something that will only transpire on this earth once Jesus Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, it lasts even beyond the 1,000 years, as a matter of fact, because, you know, at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan the devil, it says, is released from prison, and then he causes the nations of the world, from Gog and Magog, to come against the saints, and there's a great battle there, and finally, the last of Satan's power is transmuted at that time. And then we have the great white throne judgment. Well, that's still the kingdom of God, you see, here on earth, because the judgment of God is not just to mete out judgment to be evil, it's to mete out righteousness and goodness and all of those things. So even the kingdom of God, or the rulership of God, even goes beyond that. And this is what the Jews wanted to experience. They were talking about the age to come, the aeon to come, the time when God's kingdom would be on this earth. And many people then began to associate, you might say, salvation itself with the participation in this kingdom of God. And the confusion came up very, very early, even in the 2nd century and 3rd century AD. We find that people were beginning to equate being in the kingdom of God with salvation itself. But you know, we need to be very careful on this matter. Because to inherit the kingdom of God is salvation in one way. That is, it's a part of salvation, but it is not salvation itself. All men and women are to experience a salvation in God through Christ. That is made quite clear. I've written so much on this subject. I've written booklets on it, and research studies, lessons. I've given many, many lectures on this, and you can find it in the Scripture. There is a universal reconciliation coming to all of the human race through the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is true, but not everyone will inherit the kingdom of God, and that is a fact, or as Matthew called it, the kingdom of heaven. It's the same thing. Now, if you look very carefully in the Apostle Paul's epistles, whether it be in the earlier epistles, like in Galatians or Corinthians, or even in the later ones, when the mystery was revealed in the time of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said it would be possible for Christians to miss out on the kingdom of God. To miss out on salvation? In no way. That has absolutely been determined by God the Father before the foundation of the world. All people will finally be saved. All men will be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, and there are a host of other scriptures to show that. But not everyone will experience the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God really is dependent in many ways upon what a person does with the tools that God gives him at the present time. This is made clear. The Apostle Paul said that an individual who wants to inherit that beautiful and wonderful kingdom should be doing righteousness as best as possible. Now, the righteousness of Christ, which is awarded to us in a forensic or a legal sense, is what gains us salvation. That is quite true, when we're resurrected from the dead. But if we want to be resurrected from the dead in the first resurrection to experience the kingdom of God, there are certain things that you have to do. And the Apostle Paul said we should not treat lightly the righteousness that we should be practicing. For example, the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 20, 21, 22, around in there. It speaks about love and joy and faith and long-suffering and self-control, moderation, and things of that nature. All of those things are important for us to walk in so that we might obtain the reward of the kingdom of God. Now, if you do not walk in those things, if you do not want to have anything to do with leading a proper and decent and upright life at this present time, you might miss out on the first resurrection. That's a fact. Now, the first resurrection takes place, or our being changed into spirit beings, at the second coming of Christ. When he comes the second time, that's when the 6,000 years of man's rule is over, and now begins the 1,000-year rule of Christ on this earth. Do you want to experience that? If you do, you should walk in the ways that God wants. And if you want that kingdom, if you really want to be there, then you know something? You will be there. If you decide you don't want to be there, you won't be there. You won't come up in the first resurrection. That's just the way it is. If you, the unpardonable sin, there's no sin that is unpardonable ultimately, but there is a sin that can keep you out of the kingdom of God. Not salvation, but that is the sin against the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you see, is to convict a person of sin. If you're not convicted of sin, then you won't want to be in that first resurrection and to experience the righteousness of God on this earth. You've got to be in the first resurrection to experience the age to come. And it means for all of us who are in the Ephesian ministry church, because Paul said, you can miss out on the kingdom of God there, or if we are in Corinthian church or whatever, it makes no difference. The thing is, do you want to be in the first resurrection? Let me tell you this. If you want to be in the first resurrection, you're going to be in the first resurrection if you trust in God and in Christ. Now, you should walk circumspectly. You should do the best you can. You should want that kingdom. And if you want it, you're going to be resurrected, or if you're living at the time, changed into immortality at the second coming of Christ, and that's called the first resurrection. Everyone that has a participation or experience in the first resurrection will experience the kingdom of God on earth and in heaven. Those who do not come up in the first resurrection, but at the end of the very time called the dispensation of the fullness of times, will not experience the kingdom of God, though they will experience salvation. That is absolutely shown in the scripture. It simply means then, if you want the kingdom of God, you've got to be resurrected when Christ Jesus comes back the second time. Now, I fully want to experience that. I know you do too. And you know, if we keep good attitudes, and God is the one who gives us the power to do that, if we want to experience it, you and I are going to be brought up in that first resurrection, and automatically we're going to be saved at that time. All of our records of wrong have been dealt with, and the slate is clean, and all the righteousness that Christ has accumulated for us has been given to us, and we're right there at the beginning of the millennium, and we're going to experience, both in heaven and in earth, the kingdom of God on earth or in heaven. And we will. That's a part of salvation. That is the icing on the cake. But salvation itself means to go into the very family of God, to be born into that very family, to be like Elohim, that is Yahweh himself, to be where we are participants of the being family members of God. All the human race is destined finally to be in that position. But not all the human race will come up in the first resurrection. Only those who come up in the first resurrection experience the kingdom of God. But everyone, all men, will eventually be saved. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. With this in mind, we can now know the difference between the kingdom of God or heaven and salvation. The two are separate from one another, and yet everyone who comes up in the first resurrection, who is saved, will also experience the kingdom of God. To do that, you should be walking circumspectly in the spirit that God has given to you.